So, I've got a slight storm out there. Didn't know if you knew that. Stacy said that, you know how you get the flash flood warnings and it's like updated every 15 minutes and they extend it every 15 minutes. And so, about every 15 minutes, you get three or four buzzes on your phone that's telling you that there's flash flood warnings in your area and they've extended it 15 minutes. Stacy just told me she got one and it said flash flood warnings through August 29th. So, there you go. Well, welcome to Texas, and specifically Houston, where when it rains, it floods. I think y'all probably know that better than I do. And this can be a pretty scary time. It can be, the unknown can be scary, can cause anxiety. Is my house going to be left when I get back to it? Am I going to make it from point A to point B? What's going to happen tomorrow and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday if it rains like they say it's going to rain? Certainly those that were on the coast were anxious about a hurricane that went from a Category 1 to a Category 4 very quickly. And some of those places down there have just been basically run over and destroyed. And I'm sure they are asking, how are we going to rebuild? What is tomorrow? What is next week? And so this morning, I want to step out of Mark. And I think sometimes it's appropriate to change and shift gears, certainly in times like that. And I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31 in your pew Bible, I think it's 172. You know, as humans, we like to have control. For the most part, we are not comfortable with unexpected change. We don't like when we know change is coming and when people tell us what that change is going to bring. Because there is still this kind of unknown. What is going to happen? How is that going to affect my tomorrow? And because of that, if we get our eyes on our circumstances, if we begin to dwell on those things that we don't know, we can certainly become at one end uncomfortable, and at the other end, just paralyzed by fear. And worry can cause dysfunction in our lives. It can cause depression to the point that you really are paralyzed. You won't move. You won't do anything. And so instead of, there's fear of making the wrong decision in the situation because you don't know what the outcome, you just freeze. You don't do anything. See, but for the Christian, uncertainty, whether caused by something worldwide like Kim Jong-un, things going on in Russia, things going on in Afghanistan, or whether it's even decisions that are local to the Houston area or maybe even just to your family, things that you don't have control of that only affect your family, and all of a sudden life seems to be out of control. You don't have control. We do not have to worry. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to be bound by fear and paralyzed by the unknown because we serve a God who is in control. He is our anchor in uncertain times. Pun not intended, but He is. No matter what is going on, the storms of life, you can rest and be assured that the God of the universe, who is sovereign, who is providential, who is in control of all things, knows exactly what is going on, and He's working all these things, even something like a hurricane that I've never even seen in all the time of Florida, go up, find a reverse, and come back down, and possibly may go right back up. But that doesn't surprise God. He's not surprised by everything that is going on. When we get to Deuteronomy chapter 31, there is a huge transition that's taking place here. And so the background is important. I think you know this story. It's Deuteronomy is Moses. Moses is doing what? He has been called by God to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, the great Exodus, right? And so he goes to the king and he says, let my people go. He won't. God takes care of the king. They come out. He's been leading them in the desert for 40 years because of their disobedience. Now think about that. Here is this great underdog story that has taken place where Moses steps in and literally Egypt says, get out of here, to millions of slaves. Their labor force, their whole labor force just leaves. And while they leave, they get a bonus, right? So they're giving them gold earrings and silver and all this stuff. Huge, huge underdog story. They get out and God says, I will bless you. I'll give you this land. They rebel against God. They say no. He says, okay, you're going to walk around for 40 years. And here's Moses. He's leading them all these 40 years. He is their leader. He's the one that they've been looking to, the one that they've been saying, what is God saying to us? And we get to chapter 31, and Moses says, hey, I'm leaving. I'm out of here. Goodbye. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 31. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. Think about how long these people have been with Moses. Talk about a tenured pastor. Oh my goodness. 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy the nations before you so that you shall dispossess them, and Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did at Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Moses stands up and he doesn't say, hey guys, I've been around for this long period of time. We've conquered all of these things. We've been wandering in the desert for 40 years. God's judgment is over. You're going to go into the promised land. But there's going to be these giants there, and you're going to have some battles, and all this is going to go on. So you need to go like hunker down and hide. That's not what he says. He doesn't say bunker. He points them to God. He says, yes, there's going to be struggles. There's a transition. I'm no longer going to be your leader. I'm pointing to a new leader, and there's going to be new struggles. There's going to be things that you know not of. But you can trust God. You don't have to bunker down in fear. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be anxious. You have to trust God. Trust His providence, His sovereignty. When we talk about the providence of God, I think we hit on this a couple of weeks ago. It's the world and our lives are not ruled by chance and fate, but by a loving God. He rules everything. He rules all that is going on in your life. He rules all that is going on all over this world. He rules everything in the universe. Job 37, verse 5, it says, God thunders with his voice wonderfully, doing great things which we cannot comprehend. For to the snow, he says, fall on the earth, and to the downpour and the rain, be strong. He seals the hand of every man, that all men may know his works. And the beast goes into its lair and remains in its den. Out of the south comes the storm, and out of the north the cold. From the breath of God, ice is made, and the expanse of the waters is frozen. Also with moisture, he loads the thick cloud. He disperses the cloud of his lightning. It changes direction, turning around by his guidance, that it may do whatever he commands it on the face of the inhabited earth. Whether for correction or for his world or for loving kindness, he causes it to happen. Psalm 104, he causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the labor of man so that he may bring forth food from the earth. Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. God is providential over all things. He's ruling over all things in nature. He's ruling all over those who rule. He is ruling even the grass that grows for the cattle to eat. He is in control of the detail. And so why does this encourage us? Because in Romans 8:28, it says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You know what that means? God's sovereignty is great news for you this morning because he uses all of that for your good. You're good. You mean to tell me that God told that whatever hurricane, tropical storm to reverse? That's what the Bible says. Caused it to backtrack at his hand. And guess what? It's for your good. Now, I don't know all the details in your life of why that's for your good. That is beyond me. I don't understand why we're fixing to get 5 more days of rain after 3 days of deluge. God knows, and he's working it for your good. And you can trust it even when you don't see it. So this morning, I want us to look at 3 aspects of God's providence that brings certainty in the midst of uncertainty. When you are walking through uncertain times, there is fear and anxiety knocking at your door. It is telling you that things are out of control, that you don't know what's going to happen, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can anchor yourself in God and his providence. Number one, when times of uncertainty come, trust God's presence. Moses assures the children of Israel they would not be alone in all that they're about to face in these battles. But look at verse 3. Moses tells the people that it is God who goes before them. In other words, God's in front. He's ahead of them. He is the one leading the way. Except it means more than that. It means not just that when they go in the battle, God is leading them. It means that he's already there at the battle. He's already there in tomorrow's battle. Because he's sovereign. He's not bound by time. So whatever is about to take place in your life in the future, God is there. He is waiting. Isaiah 46:9, I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have been done, saying my purpose will be established and I will accomplish my good pleasure. He does what he wishes whenever he wishes. You may be uncertain of tomorrow, but you can be certain that God is already aware of every detail of your tomorrow, and he is already there working to accomplish his purpose through it, which is for your good. Listen, what's happening with this storm right now? Let me just go ahead and let you know. It's going to happen again. This is going to go away, right? And we'll make it through. Maybe we don't have a hurricane for another 2 or 3 years, but some point down the line, you're going to start getting those buzzes on your phone again. And here it comes again. You have absolutely no control over that. You don't know when. You don't know where it's going to land. You don't know how bad it's going to be. You don't know if it's going to be a 1, a 5, a 6, whatever. You have absolutely no control of that. But you know what? God is already out there 2 or 3 years down the road. He knows exactly when it's going to come. He knows exactly what category it's going to be. He knows exactly where it's going to land. And he knows exactly what he's going to do to use that storm to accomplish his purpose. And the same thing with all the details of your life. Everything that is going on in your life right now, and you're worried about how it's going to affect your tomorrow, you don't need to. Trust God's presence. He's already out there, and he's already working in that situation because he is sovereign, even over time, and he's working the situation for your good. He's already at your next difficulty. He's already at your next doctor's appointment. He is already at your next job loss. He is already at your next unwanted and unexpected house repair. He's there. And he's going to take you through it. But look at what Moses also says in verse 6. He says, the Lord your God will go with you. So not only is he ahead of you, he is with you. He's walking beside you right now. He is with you in the midst of the battle that you're going through, the circumstances that are unfolding this moment. Not only that, Moses tells them that God will not abandon them. So no matter how hard the battle, no matter how fierce the enemy, God is going nowhere. He is not going to leave them. So they could trust that God would not go anywhere. He would not abandon them in the midst of the battle. He's not going to abandon you in the midst of your circumstances. So now, listen to this. Here's the deal. We are in the midst of something. We don't understand what's going on. We're worried about what comes next. God's already there in the next. But because He is omnipresent, because He is sovereign, because He is God, He's right here with you as well. So He's before you and He's with you. And the promise is, I will not leave you. So it's going to get worse, probably, maybe, but He's not going anywhere. Well, what if it gets really, really, really bad? It doesn't matter. He's not going anywhere. Because the promise is, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you no matter the circumstance, no matter the heat of the battle, no matter how hard it gets. I will be before you and I will be with you. Listen, every child understands the assurance that comes with the presence of a parent. They're in Kroger, right? They're down the aisle and they're looking for their favorite cereal. The one that they just cannot live without, which means the one with the best toy, right? And so there they are, and they're looking, and they get mesmerized, and they kind of forget about everything that's going on around them, and mom steps around the other aisle just to pick up some mustard. And all of a sudden, they find their cereal, they pull it off the aisle, and they look around, and mom is nowhere to be found. What happens? Panic. Fear. The unknown. The uncertainty. Where has mom gone? So they begin to cry out. They begin to call out. They begin to maybe even cry if mom doesn't hear. And then all of a sudden, mom steps around the aisle and says, everything's okay. And boom, all the fear goes away. See, the child understands the presence of an adult, of a parent. Listen, you need to know that it may not look like God is in the midst of all that's going on around us, but you can be assured that He is right there with you. Why? Because you're His child. You're His child. He loves you. We serve a God who goes before us, is in the midst of all of our circumstances before we're even aware of them, yet He walks with us. Matthew 28:19, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Even as you live out your faith, even as you walk in the midst of the storms of life, in the midst of your circumstances, and you are looking to God, and you are declaring Him to be glorious, and you are telling others, listen, Jesus is the answer. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how they respond. It doesn't matter anything. Lo, I am with you always. Never leave you. Psalm 145:18, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him. Psalm 145:18, He is near to all who call upon Him. Listen, you're not alone. You're not alone when you share Christ. You're not alone when you're alone at your house and the winds are blowing, and it's making a noise that maybe you've never heard. God is right there with you. You're not alone if you're a widow. You're not alone if you're a single mom. You're not alone if you're a single young lady going to college. You're not alone. If you have called out to God in faith through Christ Jesus, you are not alone, and He will not leave you or forsake you. But there's a second aspect in God's sovereignty we see here. When times of uncertainty come, not only trust God's presence, but trust His power. Look at verse 3 again. Moses tells them that God is going to defeat their enemies for them. Not only, he doesn't just say defeat, he says He's going to destroy them. Now, this is important because remember, in those days, battles were not just army to army, it was God to God. And so whoever won the battle had the greatest God, and so they would, you know, point to that. That's what you see in David and Goliath. What is Goliath doing? He's not just mocking Israel, he's mocking Israel's God. Why? Because their army is hunkered down and they're fearful and they're scared. And so what he's saying is, listen, if you're so scared, it must mean that your God's puny. But Moses says, here's what's going to happen. God's going to go before you. He's going to be with you. And as you battle, He's going to destroy the enemy for you. And of course, we've walked through Joshua. We've seen times where God threw hailstones and wiped out the enemy. He did exactly what He said He was going to do. And if there was any doubt of God's power, Moses reminds them of how God had defeated Sihon and Og. They had come in and had these battles already. And God had been with them. He had gone before them. And what happened? Victory in battle over these two groups. No wonder Moses could tell the people, be strong and courageous. It was the creator of all things, the omnipotent, the all-powerful God of the universe that was with them fighting on their behalf because they were his children. Listen, if your house is being broken into, right? Middle of the night, you wake up and you call the police because you know somebody's coming into your house, right? You don't want Paul Blart, Mark Mallcop coming into your house, right? Some of you are old, have no idea what I'm talking about. Okay, there was a movie, and he's a mall cop, and he's basically useless, right? Okay? You don't want him responding. What do you want? Man, I want a Navy SEAL showing up at my house. That's what I want, in full gear, right? And I want him to be about 6'04", coming in about 270, right? That's who I want coming into my house to protect me. Listen, when the things of life begin to implode, when your circumstances are out of your control, listen, you don't want your neighbor coming over and giving you advice. You don't want people, you don't even want your pastor as the one that you trust in and put your anchor in. Why? Because I'm limited in my abilities. You want to trust in God, who is omnipotent, who is all-powerful, who with just the thought can take care of everything. That's who you want. That's who you want to put your faith. That's who you want to put your trust in. Listen, do you remember the Avengers? Right? Okay. So Thor's brother Loki, he's standing up in Stark Tower. Thank you. Right? There we go. All these nerds, they're telling me, right? They're up in Stark Tower, right? And he's talking to Iron Man, who is really Tony Stark, because it's Stark Tower, right? Okay. And he's like, man, y'all don't have a chance. Nothing going on that I can't handle. And all of a sudden, the Hulk shows up. Remember this? It's up there in Stark Tower. And he comes in, and Loki looks at Hulk, and he says, you can't mess with me because I'm a god. And so Hulk takes one step. He picks him up by the leg, and he goes, boom, boom, boom. And he throws him around the room and he beats him up and he leaves him there. Remember what he says? Puny God. Puny God. That's exactly how we act sometimes. God, you can take care of this and you can take care of this and you can take care of this, but puny God. Who else are you going to trust with it? You think you've got that? No, God's got control of everything. He's not a puny God. He brought it all into existence. At a word, he can make it all end. He is all powerful. Moses says, be strong and courageous. Move forward, not trusting in armor, not trusting in blade, not trusting in horses or chariots, but trusting in God. Psalm 29, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calve and strips the forest bare, and in his temple, everything says glory. Listen, in the midst of your circumstance, that's a time to worship. That's why we're here this morning. Because we glory in all that God does and all that he is. Listen, there's some of you who, although Monday you're not going to school, you're very close to going to school at some point, if your school is still around after all of this. And there's anxiety and there's worry because maybe you're going from not just like a middle school grade to the next middle school grade. You're going from middle school into high school, or maybe you're going from elementary into middle school. Man, that's a big step. You're anxious and worried, and what's going on? Maybe you're a teacher going to a new school under a new principal. Maybe you're going to a place that you were there last year and you're a man praying to God that somehow in the next 3 or 4 days, they transfer you somewhere else. There's anxiety, there's worry, there's what's going to happen. Listen, you know something? Even in something as small as just moving from one grade to the next and the worries and the anxieties that you have, you can trust all-powerful God to go before you and to be with you and to take care of you and to work all things for your good. You don't have to worry. Listen, be strong and be courageous. Now, you don't have to step into your school like you own the place, right? But you can, with humility and with meekness, be strong and courageous. Maybe you won't be cool with the kids. Who cares? Maybe you're not going to fit in. Maybe you're not going to know where all the classrooms are. Maybe you're going to get lost in the hallways. Who cares? You serve the God of the universe. You're His child if you have accepted Christ and He loves you and He will take care of you. Get your focus off yourself and put your focus on the God who loves you and the God who is all powerful and can take care of you. Colossians 1, 28 and 29. We proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to His power, which mightily works within me. Paul labored, and we know all that Paul did with shipwrecked and being beaten and all that. You know what he says? I labor. Yes, it is a labor. It's hard work. There are certainly circumstances that you're going to have to face. But how does he labor? He labors with the power of God. That's how he labors. He trusted in God's power. And so if God had him in a circumstance, then he trusted that God was going to get him through that circumstance. Finally, when times of uncertainty come, trust His presence, trust His power. You can trust His provision. His provision. The beginning of verse 3, Moses tells the people God's going to cross ahead of them. But then at the end of verse 3, Moses says that Joshua is going to cross ahead of them. Did you see that? And then again, you see this in verse 6. Moses says, it's God who goes with you. But in verse 7, Moses is speaking directly to Joshua. And he says, you're going to go with this people. So who is it? Is it God or is it Joshua? Who's going before, God or Joshua? Who's going with, God or Joshua? And of course, the answer is yes. God's going to go before them and will be with them. But God has provided His chosen leader for the children of Israel to go before them and be with them. He provided His representative. Joshua was God's provision of leadership to guide the people into God's will, to direct them to follow Him. Moses is stepping aside. Who's going to now talk on God's behalf? Who's going to lead the people? That's one of the things that they were concerned with. And God says, don't worry about that. I have provided. I have been raising up someone this whole time. Again, I'm way ahead of you. You don't have to worry about those things. And so God provides. I've been amazed how many times in the ministry of the church where God will take and yet then He provides. And I'm so thankful for the time that we have had with Casey here. And it hurts, man. We talked about this last week, that God is calling him to ministry. And yet God has gone before him. God is with him and his family. And as he goes, he can trust God, knowing that all of the details will be taken care of. And guess what? God's going to provide for us. And he's going to provide for them. And he's going to walk before us as he always has done, and he's going to be with us as he always has done. I've seen churches that have planted and 20 or 30 of their leadership, strong leadership, Sunday school leaders, and those that are deacons, men of God who will leave. And when they leave because of that plant and God has called them to that, the church begins to go, what are we going to do? All these people have left, and God provides. He raises up other men and women. And the church goes forth. Why? Because it's about God. It's not about us. And if I would have my way, then Casey doesn't get to go. And we don't ever send anybody out. And we just be who we are going to be. But that's not God's plan. And because God has a purpose, we can trust His plan. That He knew about this day millennia ago. And so he's not surprised. And he knows how he's going to guide their steps, and he knows how he's going to guide our steps. And we can rejoice in that. Matthew 6:25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Then verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. In accordance of his riches, he will provide. He will supply your needs. You look to him first. Seek his kingdom first. That is what your focus needs to be. That is what you need to be always moving towards in your life. Every part of your life needs to be pointed towards the kingdom of God, towards the glory of God. And if you will do that, he will provide everything you need in life. Listen, many times we become anxious and worrisome because we don't know where we're going to get the things that we need. Life changes dramatically. It changes instantly because of something like a storm. I mean, just in an instant, tornado touches down and it takes out a fence or a house or a roof or a room in your house. Man, life has changed instantly and dramatically. Maybe it's a job layoff. You go in and Monday they tell you, sorry, we can't pay you anymore. Instantly. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's the death of a spouse. Now your life in an instant has changed. How is God going to provide in those instances? I don't know, but I know that he's promised he will. And that's all I need to know, and that's all you need to know. We can trust he's going to provide for our needs. We know this because of the great love that he has for us, you as his child. And you say, but look at the storm around us. Look at all the destruction. Look at everything that is going on. How can you stand there and tell me that God loves us? I will point you to the cross. That's how I know. He demonstrated his great love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. There is no question, no hurricane of any category, of any size, for any amount of time can outshine God's love. There's no circumstance that can be so dark that says God doesn't love you. He always will love you. Now, those circumstances will try to convince you that he doesn't, but he does. Therefore, know that he's going to provide for every one of your needs. All that you need in order for his purposes to be accomplished. All that you need doesn't mean a new Jaguar, but it means you have what you need to accomplish his purpose in this storm. He has a purpose for this storm. And you know what? Right now, you have everything you need in your possession in order for him to accomplish and you to accomplish his purpose, whatever that is in the midst of this storm. And as you go home, you'll have everything you need. And when you get home, you'll have everything you need. If you don't have a home, all there is a slab, guess what? You still, God is going to give you everything you need to accomplish his purpose, which will be for your good and for his glory. You can trust him. Listen, Christian, this morning. I don't know what's fixing to happen. I have no clue. But we never do. It really doesn't matter there's a storm out there because you don't know what tomorrow holds. But I do know this, and this is cliche-ish, but it is so good. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And you can trust him. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that we can trust you, that you are a great and mighty God, that you sit on your throne, and that when a storm like this rolls through, we don't have to cower, but we can rejoice. We can say glory because we know that the God who sent this storm, who is in control of this storm, is so much bigger. It just speaks of your power and your grandness and your might and your wisdom and in being able to fulfill your purpose in something like a storm like this. And so, Father, we certainly don't rejoice in the destruction that has taken place. We certainly don't rejoice in lives that are lost. But we don't have to fear and we don't have to worry and we don't have to fret. And if that's the case in something that is so visible, so able to be seen and touched and felt like a storm, then God, we can trust you with something like a doctor's appointment or the loss of a job or the beginning of school. May as we move through this storm over the next days, be reminded that you are a great and sovereign and holy God who is providentially ordaining all of this for our good and His glory, even though we don't see it. And so even in the midst of the storm and the rain and the wind, may we worship you. And may we know that you love us as we look to the gospel. And may there never be doubt. And may we then point others to you. May our hope be seen. May our hope be declared. And may people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because of a hurricane that hung around. This morning, I would assume, with your head bowed and eyes closed, those that are here, that the great majority of you have probably put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But I never, ever want to preach the Word of God and not at least give you the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. The Bible is very clear that God created all things. He is sovereign over all things. He created us, and therefore, He created us to worship Him. And therefore, when we don't, when we rebel, that is sin. And sin separates us from God. And there is nothing we can do about that sin. We cannot wash it away. We can't do enough good to balance it out, which is why God had to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. He became the perfect sacrifice that you needed. And God raised Him from the dead. He defeated sin. He defeated death. And that is your hope this morning. If you want a relationship with the God of the universe who is in control of this storm, you have to say yes to Jesus. In just a second, we're going to have a time of invitation. I'll be standing down front, and there will be someone here to receive you and can walk you through the gospel. Maybe you just need someone to pray with you about trust, putting your faith in God. A counselor would love to do that. I can pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you just want to come to this altar and confess to God. This is certainly a different service, but it's worship. And part of worship is response. And so whether you're right there at your seat or whether you come forward, you need to be responding to God. Maybe it's in glorious praise right there in your heart for who He is, or maybe it is walking down. Whatever God lays on in your heart. Pastor Casey's going to begin to play and sing, and then the invitation is open. Father, thank you. I praise you for this time of invitation and pray that you would move, that your Spirit would move in our hearts as you see fit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.